is Nathaniel Wasson, and this is my wife, Amanda, and our two children, Othniel and Evangeline. The Lord has called us to serve as missionaries to the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta of Western Alaska. We are being sent out directly by our home church, Ottumwa Baptist Temple, in Ottumwa, Iowa. When most people think of Alaska, they picture vast mountain ranges, glaciers, snowy peaks, and beautiful forest. While much of Alaska does fit that description, one would not find any of those things in the YK Delta. Bethel, Alaska sits on a vast tundra, making it impossible for any traditional structures. Houses are built on what is called post and pad to allow the permafrost to stay frozen and avoid major shifting. Most people have to have their houses re-leveled at least once a year to avoid major shifts and cracks. About half of the city of Bethel has above ground city piping, while the other half is on tank water and sewer. The above ground piping makes it extremely susceptible to the freezing temperatures, often causing broken pipes. It is not uncommon for people to be out of water for several weeks or even until spring, when it becomes warm enough for the pipes to be thawed and repaired. The Yupik people also rely heavily on subsistence living as part of their culture and survival. Hunting, fishing, trapping, and berry picking are very prevalent. We were able to firsthand witness all the hard work the people put into the salmon fishing, cleaning, and curing process. Nets are placed strategically in the river, and once the salmon are caught, they are sorted, cleaned, and prepared for cutting. A special knife called the yulu is traditionally used to cut the thick salmon meat. Each fish is specifically cut to allow for optimal drying, hanging, and smoking. There is an art to the drying and smoking process, and most people have to tend the smokehouses at their fish camps constantly for at least a week, until the fish is dried and smoked enough to achieve the right texture and flavor, and to protect the precious salmon from the wildlife and weather. Muskox and moose are also hunted to provide meat, and traditionally used to make warm winter clothes. Today, the muskox wool is very valuable commercially. Salmon berries, blueberries, blackberries, and cranberries are also picked, frozen, canned, and preserved to provide nutrients through the long, dark winters. Bethel is off the road system, meaning there are no roads connecting it to any other town or place. Because of this, the only means of travel outside of Bethel is by boat, airplane, and snow machine. The town of Bethel, in and of itself, has a total of 16 miles of road, only 10 of which are paved. Because of the lack of roads, everything from a gallon of milk to building materials and gravel must be either barged or flown in. Due largely to the cost of freight, supplies and resources can be difficult to get and very expensive. Bethel and the surrounding villages are spiritually dark. The suicide rate is 14 times higher, fetal alcohol syndrome is 2 times higher, and accidental deaths are 3 times higher than the national average. This is mostly due to alcohol consumption. Alcohol is one of the leading causes of violent crimes, jail sentences, preventable deaths, and abuse among the Yupik people. While most people do not claim a main religion, Russian Orthodox, Moravian, and Catholicism are the most prevalent. A great challenge for the Yupik young people is that many have suffered abuse at an early age. This is in large part due to the terrible alcohol abuse problem in rural Alaska. This makes suicide, murder, and alcoholism seem trivial because they have no value, purpose, or meaning for the precious life God has given to them.
My name is Bruce Claypool. I'm a pastor of Bethel Independent Baptist Church, and behind me you can see part of the town of Bethel, Alaska. We have about 6,000 people here in the town of Bethel. We're the only Baptist church literally in the entire in the entire area. There's one other Baptist missionary in the YK Delta. The YK Delta has thousands of people, many dozens of villages scattered across the YK Delta. Very little gospel preaching works going on in this part of the state. The need is tremendous. The area is vast. The spiritual darkness is severe. And there is a tremendous, tremendous need for spiritual workers in this part of the state of Alaska. Because it's so logistically difficult to get to these places, there's just a real scarcity of laborers. There's a real scarcity of people willing to come out to places like this and carry the gospel message into these very difficult and hard to reach places. So Nathaniel and Amanda came out this week to help us with our vacation Bible school, and just in the few days that they've been out here, they've already been a tremendous help and a tremendous blessing to our church and to our family and to the people of Bethel.
In the spring of 2023, after much prayer and counsel with our pastor, we could see the Lord beginning to lead us into the next step of our service to Him. As we were praying and seeking direction, the Lord opened the door for our family to travel to Bethel, Alaska, and assist the Claypool family in their ministry. It was during this short time that the Lord made it very clear that He was leading us to become fellow laborers in the great need of reaching the lost in Bethel and the surrounding villages.
Romans chapter 10. Like I said, it's very different lifestyle, just very They're all villages on land, but they just as well be islands, and it wouldn't be much different because they're all just very isolated. By the way, Bush Alaska just means anything off the road system. So a lot of the state of Alaska is Bush Alaska. Not all of it, but a lot of it is. Anything basically north of Anchorage or west, and then trying to think here, west of the highway that goes up to Prudhoe Bay. Am I thinking of that right? Did I get the right? I don't know. The village way on the top in the oil field. I believe it's Prudhoe Bay. I should know that. But a lot of the rest of the state is off the road system. And it's airplanes or snow machine. It's very common. You know, somebody will hop on a snow machine and they'll run 200-300 miles on a snow machine. It's very common with nothing in between. It's just the way the people live up there. Romans chapter 10, if you would, in your Bibles. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, how it just applies to each and every area of our life. Lord, I pray that you just help us to see something new tonight. Lord, help us to see something, perhaps just a reminder. Perhaps it's not something new, Lord, but something that would speak to our hearts. I pray that you just speak to us individually. Help us all, Lord, to get individually what we need. I pray, Lord, that you just work among us. Give me the words to speak, Lord. Help me say what I should and to not say what I shouldn't. And just to help us in this, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. You see there in verse 13, probably a very common verse, probably the whole passage is, "Whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Oftentimes we use that verse in witnessing. Whosoever should call upon the Lord shall be saved. But verse 14, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?" And we know the answer, they can't. "And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard?" Again, they can't. "And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Again, they can't. "And how shall they preach except they be sent?" Again, they can't. And you know, we often take the gospel for granted. We often take the word of God for granted. And you know, we know the word of God is preserved forever. But what if you didn't have the word of God? What if you couldn't read the word of God? What if you didn't know who Jesus was? What if you had never heard that there was a God that sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die in the place of your sin? What if you didn't know that? You'd never heard that before in your life. Would you believe on Jesus Christ? Well, no, you couldn't, because you didn't know who he was. You hadn't heard. And that's what it's talking about here. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" You know, this is the United States of America. Alaska is there. It's part of the U.S. Though if you were dropped there by parachute, oftentimes you probably would not know that in a lot of those villages. But you know what? There's many, many villages in Alaska that no one has ever preached the gospel in. By many sources, you know, there's no hard, fast document that says that, but many, many people in Alaska will tell you there are villages out there where nobody has ever been to preach the gospel. And you say, well, how is that? It's Alaska. It's part of the USA. I know it is. But they need the gospel. It's spiritually dark. They don't have the word of God. We were up there last year helping with their vacation Bible school. And if the kids came for 3 nights, they got a free Bible. And you hand those kids that Bible and they ask you, well, what's this for? What is that? You know, well, it's the word of God. Well, what do I need that for? Well, because it tells you about Jesus. Well, who's Jesus? And you just have to start all the way at the beginning. Why? Because they have no knowledge. They do not know because they have not heard. And if you did not hear, you probably wouldn't be here tonight either. If you never heard that there was a God that loves you, you probably wouldn't be here tonight either. If you didn't know that Christ died for you, well, then you wouldn't have gotten saved either. And you know, those people, they're not going to wake up one day and go, oh, I need to get saved. I need to trust in Jesus Christ. Why? Because they've never heard. They don't know. I believe that if they seek God, if they do believe there is a God and they seek Him, God will send them a messenger. But what about those that are not seeking God, but would believe if they had heard? You know, if I'd never heard the gospel, I would never have gotten saved. I had the privilege of growing up in a Christian home, but what if I hadn't? I wouldn't have gotten saved if I'd never heard the gospel. And we cannot expect that these people will turn to Jesus Christ on their own if they've never heard. But you know, it's not just Alaska. Anybody ever been door knocking? A couple of you. Some of you aren't brave enough to admit it. That's okay. In Ottumwa, Iowa, we have a ton of Wiccans, a ton of Norsemen, a ton of pagan religions, and many of them have no knowledge of God. People who do not know the truth. You don't have to go to Bush, Alaska to find people that don't know who Jesus is. You just got to start talking to people. And you know, perhaps they know who Jesus is. But have they heard it from you? Have you witnessed to them? I don't want to get ahead of myself here. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you came tonight hoping I was going to preach a nice Mother's Day sermon, I'm sorry. It's not what I had prepared. So you'll have to come back this morning. I heard it was a good one. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. The Bible says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." I want you to think about something here. What is an ambassador? It's someone that represents one government to another government, right? It's somebody that is a go-between, if you will. So suppose an ambassador goes over to this government that he is representing to this other government, and they said, "You know, we really like your policies, we like your plans, you need to keep it up, it's great." And then he goes to this other government who he is representing to, and they said, "Yeah, we think your policies stink. If you keep it up, it's bad news. It's not going to work." I have a question. Is that individual being a truthful ambassador? No. Are they telling the truth from this one country, this one government, to this other one? No, they lied. They mixed the truth up. They changed it. And I have a question here. If we claim the name of Jesus Christ, if we claim we love our Savior, but we don't live like it, we don't witness like it, what are we? You know, I believe we're lying ambassadors. I believe we're claiming the name of Christ, but we're denying the power thereof. We're claiming that we love God, but our lives are not in line with it. Our witness, our testimony is not in line with it. You know, God could have chose to put "Jesus saves" on the palm of every person that's born. He could have put it on their foreheads backwards so that when they look in the mirror, it reads, "Jesus saves." But He did not do that. God chose to use people. Christian, He chose to use you and I to represent Him. He chose to use us to be ambassadors. You know, if you were an ambassador for a country, would you not think that that job is somewhat important? Perhaps you're an ambassador to a nuclear-armed country, and they kind of get upset, and they kind of start to threaten things. Well, I've got a question. Wouldn't you want to be kind of a truthful ambassador in that situation? You don't really want to be the cause of a nuclear war. But we have a far higher person we're representing. We have a far higher God who we're representing. Amen. And how often we lightly take it. How often we're not so truthful. We're not so honest. We take it lightly. But according to the Bible, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." God has a purpose. God has a plan. The plan for reaching the lost is through you and I, if we're saved. It's through us. It's through our testimony. It's through us witnessing. Go over to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. While you're there, Luke 19:10, the Bible says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Verse 17, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." You know, it's not God's desire that people die without Christ and burn in hell. It's not God's desire that people live without Christ. They've never heard of Christ, and they spend an eternity without him. That's not God's desire. The Bible says that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. It wasn't God's desire that people go there. According to verse 17, verse 17, "God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Verse 18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned." If you're saved today, you're not condemned. There's no fear of hell. You cannot lose your salvation and go to hell. But it continues on. "But he that believeth is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." You know, you don't have to be a wicked person. You don't have to be an awful person to be condemned to hell. All you have to do is live your life without Jesus Christ. All you have to do is not accept Christ as your Savior. Excuse me. And you are condemned to hell by default. The only thing standing between you and an eternity in hell, if you're not saved, is your life. The only thing standing between you and an eternity with Satan and his angels is your next breath. You don't have to be an evil person. You don't have to be wicked. You don't have to do all these vile sins. You are condemned already if you do not have Christ as your Savior. And that should terrify you if you're not saved. It really should. Famous sermon was "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God," and how he portrayed them hanging over the pits of hell. And you know, if you're not saved today, that is you. Your life is the only thing, if you're not saved, keeping you out of hell. And when your life ends, if you die without Christ, you are already condemned to that place. It's a very, very serious thing. But Christians, knowing that the lost are condemned to hell, knowing that the vast majority of the world is lost, the Bible says broad is the way that leads to destruction. Knowing that the vast majority of the world is lost, what do we do about that? Do we care? Knowing God's desire is that they're not condemned, but knowing that if they're not saved, they are condemned. What do we do about that? Do we care? Do we love them? And out of love, do we witness to them? Do we seek to reach them? Or knowing their condemnation, knowing where they will spend eternity, knowing we have the answer, do we live in silence? Do we not give the gospel? Do we not tell our friends, our coworkers, our neighbors? Well, that's the pastor's job. That's the missionary's job. That's why we have missionaries. They're to go reach the lost. Well, you know, I believe the Bible lays out very, very clearly, and we'll see this in a minute, that all are to witness. And you know people that I will never know. You know people that I will never meet. Who's going to give them the gospel? I dare say you know people that your pastor has never met and quite likely never will. Will you give them the gospel? Have they heard? Well, surely they have heard. They live in America. So do those Yupik people in Alaska, and they've never heard. Just because they live in the United States of America does not mean they've heard the gospel. I understand there's churches around every corner in many, many places. The town of Ottumwa was about 25,000 people and has over 75 churches in it. Some of them are closed now. That's a lot of churches for a relatively small group of people. But there's still people that have never heard the gospel. And how many of those churches actually have a semblance of truth in them? Go back to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, the end of verse 14 says, "And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Verse 17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." You know, I believe it's very important that we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe it's very important that we give the gospel of Jesus Christ. It lays out very clearly that hearing has something to do with it. It's interesting to me, you know, because it says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." You know, I believe it's very important that we give the gospel, that we proclaim the gospel. Verse 14, "How shall they hear without a preacher?" And you know, as I mentioned earlier, we're all called to preach the gospel. Go over to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. Acts chapter 8, verse 1, the Bible says, "And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. They were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Paul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women, As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the gospel. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the gospel." I want you to notice something. These people are scattered abroad, but notice in verse 1 that the apostles were not scattered abroad. It says they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. So according to this then, verse 14, we can conclude that these were everyday people. These were not missionaries. These were not pastors. These were not people in full-time ministry, if you will. These are just Christians who are scattered abroad, but according to verse 4, they went everywhere preaching the word. These are people running for their lives, fearing persecution of Saul. He's wreaking havoc here. These are people running for their lives, giving the gospel, proclaiming God's word as they run. This is not a pastor. This is not a missionary. This is ordinary Christians proclaiming the word of God. You know, it's not up to the pastors, up to the missionaries to give the gospel. It's up to Christians to give the gospel. And we'll see another example of this in a minute. But it's up to normal people to give the gospel. It's up to everyday people. Over back to Romans chapter 10, if you would, please. Romans chapter 10. Verse 15, the end of verse 14, "How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" You know, it's our desire to, in time, to start a church in one of those villages in Alaska. It's our desire to plant a church, to see that church grow. You know, those villages are not that big. It's never going to be a mega church. I have no desire for it to be a mega church. It's a side thought, but I don't believe God's desire is for mega churches. I believe his desire is for churches that are small and reasonable. But it's our desire to, in time, that church, to send out another pastor, perhaps, or a missionary, or perhaps see someone there come up and grow in the Word of God and perhaps take that church over, and we could go on and start another church. But you know, that will never happen. According to verse 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? And you know, I believe that's talking about two things there. I believe that's talking about Christians in general. You know, a Christian cannot preach the gospel to someone else, as we're all called to do, without first knowing the gospel, without first believing the gospel, without first having Christ. But neither can there be sent out a pastor or a missionary without that person first knowing Christ as their Savior, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's our desire to see that happen. But you know, that will never happen if they do not first hear the gospel. If they do not first believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they will never go out and give the gospel to someone else. Let's look at an example of this. Go over to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 26. The Bible says, and they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, most high? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. See here, this man is possessed with devils, the Bible says. This man is under Satan's oppression. He's living in tombs. If you read the other passages, he's cutting himself. They tried to bind him in chains and fetters to help this man. He broke them and fled. He's living in the wilderness. That's not normal. You don't do that. Satan sought this man's destruction. He sought to destroy this man. He sought this man to die and go to hell. But you know, Jesus came. He set this man free. He cast out these devils. But notice immediately what the devils ask. Verse 32, there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. You see, these devils here, they sought this man's destruction. Jesus cast them out. They lost a victory. But you know, these devils, they didn't miss a beat. They immediately asked Jesus, can we go into these swine? Can we go into these pigs over here? And they go into them and immediately destroy them. And you know, we can serve Satan. You can serve Satan. If you're not saved, you can serve Satan. And Satan will destroy your life just like he sought to do this man's. And when it's all done, when it's all said and completed, you will burn in hell with Satan. And you know, Christian, Satan seeks to destroy your testimony. Satan seeks to upset your life. You know, the Bible says for the unsaved, Satan seeks to destroy you. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. You can enjoy some fun along the way, sure, as you serve Satan a little bit. But payday's coming. And it's going to be a big payday if you're not saved. But you know, there's an option, there's an alternative. As we'll see in just a minute, you can serve Jesus Christ, who, yes, there may be trials along the way, there may be struggles along the way, but at the end of the day, you get a reward for your labor, and you get a home in heaven. How much better does that sound than serving Satan, a cruel taskmaster, and then dying and spending eternity in a place of torture and punishment? The choice seems very obvious, but God does not force that choice upon any one of us. He allows us to choose. Do you desire Christ to be your master or Satan? You know, it's a choice each and every one of us have to make, and if you're not saved, I encourage you today, get that taken care of. Don't wait. Don't wait. People die all the time. You don't know when you're going to die. You don't know when your time is up. You say, you're trying to scare me? Yes. Hell is real. That fire is still hot. Read the rich man and Lazarus. He's still there burning today. There's no escaping. I was young and I had a misunderstanding once. I thought, you know, I can go to hell and if it's really that bad, I'll get out and I'll get saved. And I realized that I had a stupid belief that I got from I don't know where. And hell is real. And if you get into hell, you're not getting out. It's too late. Take care of it while there's time. Don't wait until it's too late. But let's continue on. Verse 35. Then they went out to see what was done. They came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about him besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published through the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. Here you have one man who got right with the Lord, one man who changed, who Christ changed his life. This guy was possessed with devils. And then, if you read it, he was used in a mighty way by the Lord. One man obeyed Jesus Christ. The Bible says in verse 39, Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way. He didn't just go to his own house. Notice this. And published through the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. One man obeyed. One man followed God's commandments. And according to verse 40, the people gladly received him. It's talking about Jesus. For they were all waiting for him. When Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him. For they were all waiting for him. What are you trying to say? You witness to somebody and the whole city's going to get saved? I'm not trying to tell you that. That's, you know, these people were waiting for Jesus. It doesn't say if they all turned to Christ or not, but they were all waiting for Jesus to come back that way. But you know, if you never witness to anyone, no one's going to get saved by your witness. No one's going to get saved by your testimony. I'm not here to tell you that you witnessed to one person. Everybody in Madison, Wisconsin is going to get saved. I'm not here to tell you that. But if you don't witness to anyone, don't expect anyone to get saved by your testimony, by your witness. One man met Jesus. Jesus changed his life. But he obeyed Jesus. Has Jesus changed your life today? Are you saved? Are you born again? Have you escaped the punishment of hell? Are you telling others? You know, witnessing is not always the easiest thing to do. And you're like, oh, you're a missionary. I'm not supposed to say that. Guess what? I'm a person too. Looking at people's hard faces, preaching is not always easy to do either, but it's okay. That's what God calls us to do. But witnessing to people is not always easy. You might get a door slammed in your face, yeah. You might get somebody to cuss you out. Probably you're not going to get shot. Haven't heard of too many cases of that. Probably you're not going to get somebody to whip out a sword and take your head off. But you know, you believe in a God, at least if you're saved, you claim you do. You believe in a God that created heaven and earth. You believe in a God that created all people everywhere. That commanded us to be witnesses. But do we listen to it? Do we believe it? do we live it? Here's a man who thought it was literal, who believed it, who took the commandments of Jesus literally. He said, go tell thy friends and return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published through the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. One man took it literally and obeyed, and God used him in a mighty way. God wants to use you too. God wants to use you to spread the word of God. But if you are not willing to be used, he's not going to break your arm and force you. But he wants to use you. He's commanded you to preach the gospel. But do you? Do I? Oftentimes we get sidetracked. We get off focus in life. And we don't take it as seriously as we ought. But hell is still real. And people die every minute without a Savior. Oh, that it's not said when we get to heaven that you could have told all these people, but you chose not to. Understand, we have lives to live. We have to do things. But do we take the Word of God seriously? Oftentimes, I think as Christians, we take areas of the Word of God and we hold to those. And other areas, God, that makes me uncomfortable, so I'm just not going to do that. And shame on us. I'm sorry, I just looked at the time. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You know, verse 3 sums up all false religion right there. They're ignorant of God's righteousness. They're going about to establish their own righteousness. Lots of Catholics, lots of Russian Orthodox and Moravians in that area, and that's what they're doing. You know, the Moravians used to have some truth, and they no longer do. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to establish their own righteousness, but they've forgotten God's. And that's not the way it works. But verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Paul had a desire to see the nation of Israel saved. He had a desire to see Israel come to Christ. And if you study the life of Paul, you'll see Paul lived that desire. He didn't just desire that and sit at home. He desired that and he strove for that. He preached the gospel in a lot of places. He suffered a lot of things for the cause of Christ that many of us will never ever experience any brief amount of. But he suffered all those things. Why? My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. You know, Paul believed the Bible, and he strove to live it. And it says his heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. What is our desire? What is our heart's desire? If we have no desire to see the lost saved, we're probably not going to. If we have no desire to see lost people come to Christ, to see lives changed, to see drunkards saved, to see people who are living in utter filth to come to Christ, then we probably won't. We probably won't. Where would you be without Christ today? I don't know where I would be if I didn't have Christ today, but I guarantee you this. I'm pretty certain I wouldn't be right here right now if I didn't get saved as a young person. I was headed down very fast down a very wrong road. And if I didn't get Christ, I don't know that I want to know where I would be today. But you know, if Christ changed your heart and life, he can change someone else's too. But they have to hear. They have to hear. Without Christ, there's nothing for them to believe in. Without hearing of a Savior that died for them, they have nothing. They have no hope. What is your heart's desire? What is your prayer? Notice Paul's heart's desire was the nation of Israel be saved, but his prayer was also that. He didn't just desire it and that was it, but my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. And what is your focus in life? Is it to see souls saved? Is it wealth? Is it sports? Is it sidetracked on something else? I know we have to have money to live. I understand that. Sports are not evil in and of themselves, but if they're in the wrong place, if that's what your life is revolving around, it's wrong. What is our desire? I believe we know these things. I believe there's nothing new here tonight necessarily. But oftentimes we get sidetracked. Oftentimes we get our focus off of God and we get it on something else. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would just help us tonight. Help us, Lord, to consider your word. Help us, Lord, to live it. Lord, all of us, I think, have gotten sidetracked on it. All of us have not always been the witness we should be. Lord, I know I haven't been. Lord, I pray that you would help us in this. Help us, Lord, to realize that there's lost souls everywhere. Lost souls that are dying and going to hell, literally, Lord. They don't need to be condemned. They're already condemned. But you are the answer, Lord. You are the antidote for their poison, if you will. Lord, I pray that you just help us, Lord, to spread your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.